Podcast. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Rob.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm good.
Wonderful. What are we doing here, Robbie?
Well, it's right after the holidays, and so we're recording on January 2nd, so everything is officially behind us.
Yep.
Christmas and New Year's, and it was fun, busy.
It was fun and busy. Always busy.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things. You can't get away from it, but it's a wonderful time. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
It is. It's one of those few times for us anyway. We get all four of our kids together, even if it's just for a few hours, and enjoy that. And we have plenty of stuff to do at Eastgate. That's always really exciting and fun, but busy.
But busy.
It is.
So we tend to crash a little bit when it comes down to right after the New Year's, and we...
New Year's is more of a holiday for us.
It really is.
Than
yeah.
Christmas. I mean, once Christmas Eve service is over, we're kind of done working, but there was a lot that led up to that.
But it was a great time, and I think everybody had a good time. And
yeah, and it was different this year because New Year's fell on Christmas Day. And I mean, on Sunday, I'm sorry, Christmas Eve and
Sunday.
New Year's Day fell on Sundays.
On a Sunday.
I'm sorry. And so we just did one service both Sundays. So it was a little crowded and did one 10 o'clock in the morning. And then Christmas Eve, we did the 10 o'clock a.m. and then the 6:30 traditional Christmas Eve service.
Traditional in quotation marks because
Eastgate traditional.
Eastgate traditional where British Reading Guide came and everything like that. So.
And
it was fun.
Snowed and
yeah, it was a lot of fun though.
It really was. And I was glad to have that morning service because there's a lot of people that have never been able to come to the Christmas Eve evening service because they spend that time with their families. They have
right.
a tradition with other family members, and so they were glad to kind of be a part of that.
And you know, Dale Stidham used to not be able to come to those.
That's right.
But now that she's leading worship, she's been able to come, and man, she did a great job.
She did awesome. And now I think her family might come with her to the Christmas
I think they
Eve
just
service.
Changed the time or the
oh, okay,
or
gotcha.
When it is that they do their Christmas Eve thing. But I'm grateful to them because it really she has added a lot to,
yeah,
the,
she's awesome.
To the worship there.
Really grateful for all that.
Yeah, all the worship team did wonderfully. It
mm-hmm.
just was a beautiful, beautiful sounding night. That was for sure.
It is. You should be privy to some of the staff meetings that we go through before these holidays. Poor Matt Green is always trying to write down everything. Now we do how many songs and we break it up with this and then what and then how many of these and movie clips. And and actually we did a movie clip this year too that was sort of fun.
Oh, where we recreated the National Lampoon
Christmas Vacation
yeah.
dinner scene. That was really fun. Again, it was just one more thing we added to our workload. I felt for you. I honestly thought you'd be at the editing room floor for like 2 days straight, but you did it in about one full day, I guess.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
We filmed
that
at a staff Christmas party, and so it was all the staff around our dining room table, and we used the audio from the original movie, and I think there's been like 26 shares so far.
Yeah, well, that's embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing.
Don't share that. You guys know, I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably know us. I mean, that's okay.
That's
it was kind
fine.
Of an inside joke. But
it's fine.
Other people see this and they're going to go, what?
Well, what's funny too is at the staff meeting, when we talked about maybe doing that, how that would be kind of fun to do. And my first thought was, oh, you'd be Clark Griswold. And then I thought, oh, no. Wait, no, we're the old people now. Matt Green is Clark Griswold. We're Aunt Bethany.
Yeah.
And her husband, I can't remember who his name is. But
Uncle Lewis.
Uncle Lewis, yes. And so, yeah, that was a little bit of a wake-up call. But it was so fun to do. And I took it pretty seriously. I had to find a flowered hat and everything.
And you did a great job with that.
I went to the Goodwill.
I was impressed with that.
Thank you. I had to fill my part.
Well, you did a good job.
It was really
You stole
fun.
The show, really.
No, I don't think so. I think Uncle Eddie did. And it was funny because Stephen and Blake
Cousin
both
Eddie,
wanted
yeah.
to be Cousin Eddie. Yeah. And I thought most people wouldn't want to be Cousin Eddie, but it's like, no, they both wanted to be that. So Blake got it. And another inside story is the little jacket he's wearing is his wife Gwen's jacket. And he could barely get that thing on. And as soon as the filming was over, he said, somebody get me out of this. And
yeah,
he had to have
two
assistance.
People to pry him out of it.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
So that was pretty fun.
But so Christmas is over, and I'll tell you what, there's nothing so over as Christmas. My dad used to say, was famous in our family for saying, there's nothing so over as Christmas when it was over.
That's
and
right.
He's right on that. It
That's
is
right.
one of those things. You build up to this, and then it's done. And we even did a, back in the band, the band Riley and I had, the
Jonesing for Spring.
It wasn't Jonesing for Spring. There was Pieces of the Wreck.
Yes.
And we did a song called Nothing So Over Is Christmas.
Yeah, if I can find that link, I'll try to share it with you all. I try to do that every year because it always comes to mind that the day Christmas is over, everything looks dated and it's over. It just needs to go.
And we're the kind of people that like 2 days after Christmas is done, Christmas is gone from our house. Like, I think we're the first
people on the
block. The
last guest that leaves, we're like, bye. And then we start packing everything up like it never occurred.
We're like the Grinch running through
this
place.
We sort of are. It's a little ridiculous.
I think we're the first in the neighborhood to pull all the lights down. And then we get
the Christmas
tree. Then
we start judging all the neighbors. Like, when are they taking theirs down?
Wouldn't you love to live in this neighborhood?
Don't you love us?
We don't judge anyone. We
not
understand.
At all.
In fact, maybe that's what I should do is go. But how would that be taken?
Go to the day. I'm not judging you.
I'm not judging
you. Your lights are on.
I'm just here as a Christian. I want to help.
Yeah, that'll go over really well.
Anyway, so.
But there's something about it. It feels cleaner. You feel like you
does.
Can relax a little
bit.
The house
bit. Seems bigger all of
it
a sudden.
It does. It feels like
crazy
there's more
trees
room.
Not in the way.
Yeah, you can vacuum everywhere and it's just, and then you can relax and.
Watch football.
That's right. Yeah.
But so anyway, we had a good time with that. And
we definitely have more time to relax once New Year's hits. And again, like I said, we just did one service on New Year's. And so that was sort of fun, too. Kind of you get maybe to a lot of people got to see people they
don't
normally
see,
even
yeah.
know come to Eastgate. And there were no kids churches, kids church, except for the middle and high school. And so we were all together and that was sort of fun.
Yeah. So are there any other newsy things going on?
Well, there's one other thing that I thought maybe we should mention. It's not really good news maybe to some people, but we have canceled our online live streaming feed.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess most people know, I don't know, that I do work and slash hide in the media room a lot of times. But we have had that live feed for years now, and it increasingly gets more difficult. It's very tough to have all the IT aspects working correctly. It's very dependent on a good internet. There's Wi-Fi issues.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
people that want to use the Wi-Fi while they're at Eastgate, and then it affects our ability to stream as well. There's audio and video sync issues. It has become a nightmare for us.
As a person who's outside of this who will walk back there, and I know a little bit about it, but I can't tell you how many times I see the volunteers and Robbie running around like as if their hair's on fire trying to get these things to work right on a Sunday.
We try
and running
really
out of time.
Hard. And
service is about to start. People are texting you saying, there's no audio. What's going on?
Yes, it's fun. But so there's that. There's the technical aspects. There's also the financial cost to it.
It takes quite a bit.
It does.
Do
there's
that.
Several cameras involved. There's good computers you need to have. You need to keep up with new computers, new, you know, good RAM and all that, as well as the fee for the streaming service itself. And eventually we just said, what would it look like if we just stopped that? And that's something we've been praying about and thinking about and kind of decided a couple months ago, but we wanted to give everybody plenty of notice. I know even my own family, my dad, my sister have logged in just to see us and, you know, see how we're doing. And I see
we
Sammy
get it.
And that.
We're sorry
I understand
about that.
It's really a very difficult decision, but we felt like it was a good one. And what we are going to try to do is still record the video, but it won't be dependent on a streaming service anymore.
It'll
just
on being live. It'll be uploaded a little later on to
on
YouTube,
which is no cost. That's all. That's just free, basically. And it may take a day or a week to get that uploaded. So you'll still be able to see the service if, like, you've never come to Eastgate or you kind of want to see what it's like. I mean, that's really why we did it. So it's like we wanted to take all the guesswork out of coming to church. Here's what it looks like. Here's what it seems like. Here's the people that are there. And hopefully that will still happen with a YouTube feed.
Yeah.
It just won't be live anymore.
Yeah. And the audio feed is usually ready within the next day or so.
Yeah.
And
the MP3s get uploaded
right away. You can
subscribe
to the podcast for that if you're interested in getting the teachings
right
away.
And they're
on
our website too.
Yeah. And they're, uploaded to the website. So you can go to the website, eastgatefellowship.net, and just click on the most recent teachings. Or you can watch the video a little later on. It'll be on YouTube.
And it may or may not have the worship. We're trying to include the worship. Sometimes those videos automatically get taken off of YouTube because the songs are
copyrighted. So, but like really it's best just to do the audio podcast. Like when you're out taking down your Christmas lights.
Please do it for us.
You can just listen in your earbuds and to what's going on.
Or here's another thing. You can come. Come to the service.
Oh, What was that?
There's that. And do like I do and listen to the service again later for everything you've missed while you're working hard in the media room.
Oh, there's that.
Speaking of working hard, I don't know if everybody knows this, but the decorating for Christmas, Liz does most of it.
Yeah.
She does.
Liz puts up the Christmas tree and the garland and the lights over all the doors and makes that really pretty.
And actually, she normally decorates the office too.
Yeah,
for
she does.
All the staff. It's so sweet. But there's like another level that gets done by you and Janelle, your daughter, our daughter.
Our daughter.
Yes.
I'll claim her as my daughter if you don't want
to. She's mine too. I'm taking her. And so, and I don't know how that got started, but I do know that you and she have always helped put the lights on at our house together.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been
like
your tradition.
She was 9 years old when we started that tradition.
Yeah. And it's always so cute.
For the last several years, she's been helping me decorate the platform area for the Christmas Eve service.
And yeah, you always kind of bring it up a notch for that service and add some more lights and ribbons. And like this year, she made, I don't know if most people know this that saw it, but all those little white
snowflakes
she made by cutting and hot gluing. And
oh my goodness, it was amazing. I sat there watching her do it. I couldn't figure out what she was doing. But she would just
beautiful.
Cut this way and that way and hot glue some things and then hold it up. And I'm just like, what?
And they're 3D. They're so beautiful.
It was.
So
they
I'm hoping
really
they
pretty.
Make it through next year. We did try to safely tuck them away today. So yeah, today you guys
were
taking everything down.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm not usually around to help, but I was this year. So I went and helped you guys. And there were some really scary elements to taking those lights down.
What do you mean? It's scary.
It was totally out of Christmas Vacation. There were staples going right through the wires.
No, I don't think that's true.
There were.
I would never have done that. You blamed Janelle, and Janelle blamed you. If there were staples going through the wires, it had to be Janelle. Even though I'm the only one who did the stapling, it still had to be her. There's no way I would.
I don't know how those lights even worked after you had stapled. I blame you. I know it was you. And she told me that she tried to do it, but both of your hands were shaky. And there was something about trying to hold the staple down. She couldn't squeeze hard enough. And so you said, get out of my way. Let me do this.
Okay. We're up on this ladder. We're both on these ladders trying to do this. And I'm waiting. I'm holding the wires up over my head. And I'm waiting for her. And she's sitting there with her hands shaking, trying to squeeze the thing on one staple. And I was like, get out of the way.
And they were like the most heavy-duty staples, too. They were like, I don't know, like roofing staples.
Well, you don't want
to
come down.
That's such a thing. Oh, my gosh. They were really hard to take down today. But, yeah, if any of those work next year, I'd be very surprised.
They'll work.
Because the staples went right through the wires.
I don't think you're right about that. I don't think you are.
So
right. It was fun. We got all that packed away.
Any volunteers that want to help us next year, come at your own risk.
Tree is turning brown. The wrapping paper has made a mess. The colored lights are hanging down, and they look tired.
Christmas, I mean, we've always got so many people to get involved and help make those services that we have there so special. And,
so many.
And is there anybody in particular that jumps out at you as you're thinking about it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was thinking of LaDonna Broadstreet.
Oh, man. Isn't she awesome?
She is. She volunteers every year, and she works for a month or two with the kids to do some type of fun presentation with them. And
this year was so cool the way they came in. They all came in wearing caroling, like, costumes.
Yes.
And went through and handed out candy canes to everybody as
they were walking through. That in the morning they did the 12 Days of Christmas, which was fun. We did that last year where there was a number underneath your seat, and if you had that number, you had to stand up when they sang that.
I loved how at the end of that, Matt was like, Matt was looking out and he goes, now, there was only one person with number one that stood up there. I don't understand, because it was one number one. There was two number, two of twos. Three,
right.
Two. But Matt was going, so was there only one number one? And then all of a sudden it clicked with him. And, oh, I get it.
And everybody laughed. And I went, ha, ha, ha. And I didn't get that either. I'm sorry. Because I'm like, wow, people aren't standing up with their numbers. And my own brother had one of the numbers and he just held the sign up. And I'm like, stand up. I went up and whispered in his ear, you're supposed to stand up. These are the rules. He never did. But that was fine. But yeah, that was clever to have one and two twos and three threes. And yeah, by the time you got to the end, there was a bunch of people standing up.
And I was there when Janelle was putting all the signs under the chairs, and she made sure that 11 got all grouped together. So if you noticed when it was going on,
I did notice
the
that.
Big bunch right in the middle
on the
had
same
to stand
row.
Up.
Yeah.
All stood up together.
That was cute. So. Oh, it was so much fun. It's very interactive and just a blast.
We did have a blast.
And
it
of course
really
it
cool.
snowed again, which it always does on
always
Christmas
snows.
Eve,
but I'll just be honest with you. It seems like every year there are technical glitches that, like, right at the last second happen and have us running around with our hair on fire,
yes.
trying to figure out how to make it work. But we always make it work. So,
and that's nice. That's just a different, yeah, media room has their own issues. And,
yeah, everything has its own issues.
Yeah. We appreciate your prayers during this time because it can be a little harried.
That's true. But it's all good. And again, yeah, and it doesn't. Like, all of these things are just the outward trappings of what's really going on. And what's really awesome in those meetings is the vibe that comes through as
Absolutely.
Everybody's together and you're seeing people hugging and smiling and
I know,
enjoying
and for
the
me,
time together.
I mean, Eastgate's been around now for a little over 20 years.
20? Well, what's 95? Isn't it? Didn't it start
22.
In 95?
So 22 years. We should have figured this out before we started talking. But either way, Eastgate's been around for over 20 years.
Yeah, over 20
and
years.
Here's the thing. Holidays, it's like homecoming, and I love it, and I just want to cry. There's so many people that have, the Prathers, for instance, who have literally been around since it was a home group in our home.
Yeah.
And lived across the street. They're in to see their kids, and so many other families are in to visit with family, and it's just like, yay, we love you.
And you know that, like, traditional churches even have, like, homecoming weeks and things like that. Yeah. And, so you can see what the appeal of that is, because when you do form a sense of community, to be able to see these people who've been part of this story and reconnect with that and catch up, find out what's going on, it's really beautiful.
It gives you a glimpse of heaven.
Yeah, it really does. So, you're familiar with that email scam that's been going around forever of the Nigerian prince that, you know, he's going to contact you and...
Yeah, I was hoping I'd get a lot of money from that. It didn't pan out.
Yeah, I was wondering whatever happened to all that money. No wonder we're so poor. Well, did you know that they actually caught the guy? He's a 67-year-old from Louisiana.
Why do I think I want to blame Blake for this?
Well, of course, Louisiana. Michael New of Slidell, Louisiana, facing 269 counts of, Slidell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. Facing
oh my God.
269 counts of wire fraud and one count of money laundering.
He doesn't look very princely.
He doesn't, not only does he not look princely, he doesn't look like he made any money in this.
He's just wearing a gray little t-shirt, $8 shirt.
Yeah, I mean, how fascinating. Anyway, the scam goes, you know, you get this email from a Nigerian official claiming he's a recipient. That when you get the money, you'll be named a beneficiary of at least $1 million, you know, if you then send personal information to you know, help them get the money distributed. And then what happens is you get taken for...
That was a really big deal for a while there.
It really was.
And I know a lot of people fell for it, but it's kind of old now. I don't know when it started, but... I know some people have still, you know, had hope.
So anyway.
But I'm glad they caught him. That's good.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I guess the investigation was, you know, I guess the investigation's been going on for 18 months. Now, the scam has been around for a lot longer. So it makes me wonder.
Yeah, that's true.
If, like, remember how, like, in The Legend of Zorro, there was more than one Zorro?
That's true.
So it might be that there's more than one Nigerian prince.
Imposter,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, imposter.
Picked up on it.
It's more than just this guy from Louisiana. But either way, I thought
That's
it was
hilarious.
A unique and funny thing. And there's the thing. Hey, you get an email telling you, offering you money or telling you anything. If you don't recognize where it comes from, never, ever, ever click any links involved with it or answer it or anything. Go directly to the trash and
if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
It definitely is. It most definitely is.
Trust God. Trust God to be your provider.
That's right.
We don't need to win the lottery. We don't need to
But the question that will automatically come up is, what if God's going to provide for me by winning the lottery?
He won't.
And there's your theology minute.
Lottery is a tax on the poor. Sorry. Yeah. That's my opinion.
Okay. Well, okay. We've got that opinion.
And we're moving forward.
And we're going to move on from there. So what else is going on here?
Well, what have you been watching lately, Rob?
What I've been watching?
Yeah, what have you been watching on TV lately? Anything?
When?
This last weekend.
I was wondering if you were going to do this to me. I watched a football game.
Can you name how? I mean, can you number how many you might have watched?
What are numbers?
Numbers are super important. You know how many times God uses numbers?
Just symbolically. So, do you want a symbolic number? I watched 7.
70 times 7?
70. I watched a couple games.
What kind of games?
Football games, bowl games, college bowl games. Look, I just have to say, this has possibly been one of the best college bowl game years ever. There's like only a couple of those games were blowouts. The rest of them were UCF beat Auburn.
That was beautiful.
Who would have ever thought that was going to? Hey,
a little
sorry
pulled in like a cat by a string.
Yeah, but sorry, all you Auburn fans who because I know there's a lot at Eastgate. But UCF.
We've got to go with our friends the Cravatas.
And there was a David and Goliath story and the whole thing. I mean, it was pretty amazing there.
I guess what I want to know, has
Griffin
anybody seen the Simpsons episode where Homer went to an all-you-can-eat seafood?
Simpsons are the devil.
Oh!
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And he ate until the restaurant was out of food, and he had to go to court about it. And the judge asked him, and what did you do after the restaurant ran out of fish? And Marge had to answer, and she said, he went fishing. That's basically what just happened this weekend. There was a crap ton of football going on at our house.
Listen, I got a DVR. I was able to record them. I could skip through in between plays. I was able to get through a game in like less than an hour.
You did power watch them. I admit.
I power watch those
games.
I like
football, but I can really probably only absorb about one game a day. And I was a little I got a new laptop for Christmas, which was so awesome and amazing. But I can't seem to spend enough time on that anyway. And so I had my laptop out there with me, and you had football games going on, and I would glance over every now and then. But yeah, it was a lot of football.
One or two games.
And you're a little sad today.
Because
you can't go fishing.
It always is a little sad when college football season is. I mean, we got one more game. We got the national championship. And
there's playoff NFL games.
And, the championship... I don't know. I don't know that Georgia's going to be able to beat Alabama.
Look too good. Yeah.
No, Georgia looked amazing.
Yeah.
Georgia looked amazing yesterday going up against Oklahoma.
Georgia was the one that looked good. It was.
No, Clemson looked terrible.
Clemson was an embarrassment.
Yeah. But either way, doesn't matter. Nobody cares about all this stuff. That's something we were watching. We've done other things too.
It was kind of hard to convince you to do this, but my kids were in the house and they rooted for me. But HBO was showing every Harry Potter movie starting New Year's Day at 9 a.m. And I don't know why I got excited at the thought of having all those. I'll never forget when we first watched Harry Potter. It was during the days of Blockbuster, and most everybody had probably already seen it, and we wanted to see them in order, and it was really hard to find episode one, whatever you call it.
The Sorcerer's
Stone. And a lot of the Blockbusters didn't even carry it anymore because they were already on like 5 and 6 or whatever. And so I'm like, I just want to see them all again. And so we've been watching them. We just finished the
third
one.
We're still kind of working our way through.
They're
in the background. We're doing other things.
Yeah.
But
when you've seen it, a lot of it comes back and it feels familiar. But there was a lot I'd forgotten too. And that's been really fun too.
That has been fun. That's a fun story. I really enjoy the storytelling in that series of books.
Yes.
We also went and saw Star Wars, but you know what?
We did.
I'm not going to discuss Star Wars. Yeah. I've decided I refuse to because lately it feels like discussing politics to talk about Star Wars.
So there's a lot of opinions about it one way or the other.
There are. I just read a quote not that long ago that was talking about how as a country, and of course everybody's got an opinion about,
sure,
you know, what's wrong with our country. But I thought that it was interesting. He said, we no longer have more in common than what divides us.
Mm.
And he said, because we choose to emphasize the division. In other words, we choose to emphasize all the things that we disagree about,
yeah,
as opposed to remembering that there's a larger thing that holds us all together. Like,
mm-hmm,
in terms of the polarization of the United States right now,
right,
and politically how polarized we are, we tend to forget that there's a larger thing, that we're all Americans. We're all part of this country, this grand experiment of democracy, and the differing opinions actually work together in that, but we don't seem to want to allow for the difference of opinion on either side of this. I'm not blaming one side or the other.
We're very protective of our opinions and,
yeah,
defensive about them.
And of course,
them.
The church is guilty of that as, mm-hmm, well. And so anyway, I just decided I don't think I need to throw my opinion in there about Star Wars. It's a movie.
Sounds good.
It's a movie with laser swords.
Well, here's the other thing. This is, I think, what the holidays...
Giant dog.
Here's what I think the holidays does, though, too. It unites
monkey dog.
Us.
What? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I thought you didn't want to talk about it, but maybe you do. But there's something about the holidays. There's Christmas and New Year's, and I know not everybody, you know, if you're Jewish or whatever, then there's...
Hanukkah.
And so there's either Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever, but New Year's, we all celebrate together, and there's a uniting... there that we have. And actually the Olympics are coming up in February, and that's going to be another thing that kind of unites us, I think, as a country. We root together,
yeah,
for our team members, and there's a few things like that in life that bring us together, and I love those times.
I do too. I think it's wonderful, and those are the things that we want to focus on, and especially even when we bring this into the kingdom mindset, and,
yeah,
and being part of the church and part of our Christian walk has to do with focusing on Christ, remembering that he's who holds us all together. And there's going to be a lot of differing opinions,
yes,
and,
mm-hmm,
even beliefs about these things. And even, you know, how I understand Christ compared to somebody else might be different. And that's okay. Because
more.
Christ is actually bigger than all of our conceptions of,
mm-hmm,
him. And just being able to maintain that sense of unity, I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges that we face as Christians,
mm-hmm,
going forward into these next few years, is,
mm-hmm,
being able to step out of the flow of this broken world system that wants to divide and wants to divide over everything, and challenge each other to love each other even in the face of differing opinions or even beliefs.
Well, I mean, that's what Jesus said, how people would know that we're his, is that,
right,
our love for one another. So how does that happen if we just are constantly trying to fight for our opinion? And
yeah, and you know, I've started reading a book, and over the holidays I haven't had a chance to really flesh it out or read it as much as I want to. But in the opening of it, I'm stunned by how much I appreciate it. It's called The Pietist Option. And it's a, mm-hmm, it's kind of a response to, but an alternative to the Benedict option. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but, and I forget the author's name, but an author has proposed the idea that American society has gotten so far. And I haven't read that book, so I'm maybe misrepresenting it, and I apologize in advance if I am. But the idea is that instead of, you know, trying to fix this culture, we just need to withdraw from the culture altogether and basically, you know, be something separate from it within our own subculture. And I'm not sure if that's rightly representing his ideas on it. I definitely don't think that I agree with that.
Sure.
But the Pietist option talks about this movement that started post-Reformation within the late 17th century among the Moravians, and John Wesley was heavily influenced by this. And the thing that's fascinating about it wasn't a movement. It wasn't something that left behind this grand structure of what we're going to do to get back to the basics. It just infused this mindset into the churches that were already present and resulted in this great awakening. John Wesley was a huge part of this. I think it's fascinating. I think what's what I was drawn to that, because in our statement of beliefs, we adopted a saying from the Moravians,
mm-hmm,
in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, but in all things love,
yes,
which resonates with a lot of people, because that's the heart of even what was behind the Pietist movement. We're going to focus on Jesus and what he means and how he transforms, and all of these other different things that we get wound up about are ancillary and unimportant.
Hmm.
And if there's anything that's guiding me or motivating me in this coming year, it's that. I want to be somebody who sends out that call that let's get past these divisions. Let's get back to Jesus and find our identity in that. But
absolutely.
I didn't mean to start a sermon. Oh man, I'm so sorry.
But it was awesome. It was good anyway.
He can't help himself, folks. I'm sorry. Did you like my imitation of you there?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
So leave
it to me to bring things back to something very shallow. And so I had this in my notes. I just wanted to bring it up because we didn't get to bring it up last time. And that is February 13th. Everyone needs to be happy because that's 44 days from the date of this recording. And that is the day that Bradley told me about, which I used to never know about, called Pitchers and Catchers Report. And that is the day that the pitchers and the catchers report for practice.
Yay!
And the MLB. And so that's
it's kind of like it's kind of like
cloud the size of a man's hand. Yep, I saw you do that.
No, I was going to go more shallow. I was thinking in terms of the what kind of an animal is it comes up and sees a shadow?
The groundhog.
Groundhog.
Yes.
Groundhog.
Day. Oh, okay.
That's it. Yeah, it's kind of like the groundhog, you know, looking for his shadow. It's this whole sign that something wonderful is about to happen, and that is the coming of baseball.
That's right. So in spite of this crazy freeze we have going on, spring is coming.
That's right. Spring is coming.
Just like winter
came. And so are the Cubs.
Spring is coming. Yeah.
Crazy good acquisitions, apparently.
And we're hoping to go to a Cubs game this year in Atlanta. The Braves are at a new field, but the Cubs are going to be the ones we're going to see. And it's in North Atlanta now. And I think it's called Sunkist. What is it?
No, Sunkist is Houston's
field.
No, what
field. Is it?
I have no idea. You're asking me, and I will just look at you blankly.
SunTrust. Maybe it's SunTrust Field.
SunTrust? I feel like that's another field already. We'll look into that and get back
to
you
that.
At some point.
But there is, and it's not, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium is the new football stadium in Atlanta.
Correct.
And I can't think of the name of the
Did you know that Mercedes-Benz also represents the Superdome in Louisiana?
No.
I didn't know that until I was watching a bowl game. I happened to see a bowl game over the weekend.
Did you?
One of them was played there, and I was thinking, Mercedes-Benz, that's the Atlanta stadium.
It is weird. I have to say, we talked about this a lot during these bowl games. It used to be the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Orange Bowl,
the
Rose
Bowl. There was like four or five bowl games.
And
but
now they're like
20!
Kentucky Fried Chicken Bowl and things like, I mean, they're all named after businesses and Outback Bowl, a lot of different things. You were telling me that they're only a team basically only has to have 6 wins to make it into a bowl game now, and so there's a lot more than there used to be. But you know that's fine.
Why Florida State looked really good in their bowl game.
They looked amazing. They did.
And they got
that
a
was
new
one
coach
I watched
coming in. And, mm-hmm. and boy, then, coaches. Hey,
I was
the
just
Colts.
Gonna say that was the other thing I was gonna say is that the NFL Black Monday was yesterday,
and
there's a few heads rolled.
Chuck Pagano lost his job. Which listen, Chuck Pagano is a dear man.
He always makes me sad. He was the Colts head coach. He fought cancer and survived.
Yeah,
and he always had a little
individual.
Sad face. So, but he was not a great winning coach.
But I'm not
for the
sure
Colts.
That he was the right fit for the scheme over there. And he seemed to leave graciously. Everything was good in terms of that. But so I'm so excited to see who he might be able to get over there.
I have great faith in the Ursays, so that'll be really good. And then John Fox.
She's being sarcastic because I have no faith in them. And listen, the Ursays are human beings, so I'm not trying to say something that. You know, they're human beings. They're made in God's image. God loves them.
You keep telling yourself.
But they're terrible owners. But it doesn't matter. It's good. It's fun.
And then our son Bradley, who's a big Bears fan. That's probably his number one team.
I think that's like my second favorite
team. Very close,
yeah.
And they lost John Fox, which he's been wanting for a while.
Yeah.
And
so anyway, we got some interesting developments happening there, and we'll see where it goes.
I think I saw today it's like the biggest dearth of NFL coaches that there's been in a long time. I think 8 or something. I don't know. So anyway, that's something to look forward to see what might happen in the future.
Yep. Sounds like fun. You know, and speaking of, since we're talking about football, I can segue then into our section called That's Not a Thing.
Because that's not a thing.
It's not a thing. That's not a thing. But we like to highlight sayings that people mistakenly attribute either to the Bible or mistakenly attribute in a quote of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Ditka. You remember him, the former Bears coach from the Super Bowl winning team back in the 80s. He famously said in an interview one time after they had a dismal season, he said, well, you know, as scripture says, this too shall pass. That's not a thing.
It's not.
That's not a thing in scripture. I mean, you know, it's a truism.
That's funny. I didn't know he said that as it says in scripture.
Yeah, as it says in scripture.
That's funny.
But you know what? Public figures, a lot of times, will use scripture if they think it's going to get them sympathy. I think he was trying to keep his job.
Well, you know, it kind of goes back to what you were talking about, too, that it's kind of sad how a lot of Christians really don't know that much about the Bible or mm-hmm. don't know that much about their faith, really. And I have jokes on that. I certainly don't know very much myself, but I does sort of bother me sometimes when I feel like people are quoting movies more than they are the Bible. And they're like, just because it's in a movie doesn't mean it's accurate, because there's a lot of mistakes in movies about the Bible or things that the Bible yeah. says this or scripture says this. And you have to be careful about that. And
it's true. And so this too shall pass actually comes from an old English poem called The Lament of the Doer.
Oh.
And it's not even an accurate quote from that poem either, but it's it kind of, you know, is a paraphrase of what's said
yeah.
in the poem. But anyway, this
makes us feel better.
Yeah, this too shall pass. It's not biblical, though it's not unbiblical in its sentiment. It's just not mm-hmm. a quote from scripture. It's not a thing.
That's not a thing.
It's not.
And nowadays, it's actually easy to find these things out.
I mean, it
is. You can
is.
Google anything, and knowledge is at our fingertips. And you can be like a detective and find out if that's true or not and feel real smart.
That's true. And that actually motivates me a lot of
me
times.
Me too.
I want to know. I want to know what's right or what's accurate. And that's, I would say, the majority of my time spent researching is that I will read a commentator or read, you know, a book on mm-hmm. a specific subject, and immediately my thought is that a thing? And so I have to really research. I'm not going to ever take on face value or for granted.
Right. Because I have that responsibility of saying things in front of people and then coming back and going, I hope that's right.
And it's not. And I've been caught on that several times before where I've gotten lazy. Not several times, but only once have I ever been wrong is what I'm trying to say.
And it haunts you forever.
No, but I've certainly been wrong many, many times, but one time really caught me because I quoted somebody that I had read and then somebody researched it after me because I didn't take the time to research it mm-hmm. and it turned out that it was incorrect. And so then I felt terrible about that sort
yeah.
of thing. And, you know, you're never going to catch everything along those lines.
But you'll never forget that.
But
either.
Have I talked about this on the podcast before, that one time that Christians are just notorious for passing on
yeah.
really bad information. Did I talk about that
well,
on the podcast?
Well, I don't
podcast?
Know. Which was it? There was one.
There was a speaker one time who was talking about laminin.
Laminin. No, I don't think he did.
Oh, my goodness. There was a speaker, and I'm not going to name who it was, but he made a big presentation, and it was really exciting. It got me really pumped up. And he was talking about how, you know, God is present in all these things out in the universe, and then he said a biophysicist came up to him and said, you need to research laminin.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's one of the cellular structures in the human body. And when you look at it, you'll be amazed. And he said, and I looked at it and he put a thing up on the screen and it looked just like a cross.
That's right.
And he said, and this is what our, you know, the building structure of our whole human body is all about. So the cross is embedded. And that's profound. I mean, I just mm-hmm. thought that is so cool. I can't wait to share that with everybody. But, you know, me, and I was like, but I better make sure. Is that a thing? And so I started researching and looking for it, looking for pictures, scientific pictures of laminin. Every time I was really searching for a picture of laminin, the image that he shared that came from his ministry group was the one that predominantly came up. When I finally drilled down and got to what laminin really looks like, it looked more like the Blue Oyster Cult symbol than it did a cross at all.
It's a totally different message.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a completely... So don't fear the reaper. But anyway, so that's one of those things. That's why we got to do our due diligence.
I think we do, and I think we have to be so careful about just not repeating something we've heard. I have a really bad habit, and I just now preface everything I say where I've done this thing of just reading the headline of an article because I don't always have time to read the article. So now I just say, I saw this headline and it said blah, blah, blah. And so at least everybody knows I have not read the whole article. And my son Bradley several times has said, Mom, at some point you're going to have to read the article. And and it's true, but I don't always have time, but it piques my interest and you get kind of the gist of it anyway.
You get the gist of it. Except that unless it's an inflammatory headline.
So there's plenty of caveats. It may yeah. or may not be true, but this is what I saw. What do you think? And have you researched it for me? So I have a quote.
A quote?
That I'd like to share.
Oh. Is this a quote or an estimate?
You'll see. No, this is a quote from Pope Francis, one of my favorite quoters. And there's so many good ones. If you get a chance to follow him on Twitter, I know Blake does too, and it's just so good. Really really good stuff. Anyway, this one I particularly liked. It said, God is in love with us. He draws us to him with tenderness by being poor and fragile among us, like one of us.
Hmm. Man, I love that.
I do too. So many of his quotes, this was obviously just one of many, many quotes, something every couple of days, but a lot of them involve peace. But I also liked this one too, where it talks about his love and kind of, I'm not going to say making God closer to us, but kind of seeing him as more real and more caring and
loving. Yeah, putting him in the proper light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an amazing thing. And you know, this is not to, I don't want to sound disparaging about a Catholic perspective, but that's an amazing thing from a Catholic perspective.
That's true.
Because if you think in terms of at least the, if you think in terms of the stereotypical perception of Catholicism, there's a certain stricture associated with that, which you don't see represented. He was just recently in the news. Kevin Barron sent me an article about how he was interested in changing the wordage of the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
About lead us not into temptation, which he's right about this.
Mm-hmm.
The wording in there is awkward and doesn't necessarily convey what it is the intent is behind that.
Mm-hmm.
It's
God's
more the
character.
Idea of, yeah, it's more the idea of preserve us from being overtaken by temptations. Not so much that he, because God doesn't tempt. That's what Scripture plainly declares to us.
It does. And I love it because he's breaking all the rules.
Who?
Pope Francis.
Oh, right. I thought you meant
Kevin.
Kevin.
Well, he may be too, but I know people may not notice his as much, but the Pope is you know, he's kind of upsetting the apple cart a little bit in the Catholic world.
Fun.
And I love it because it's all for good.
And I think
it's not just to be contrary.
God raises up leaders at different places and different times for such a time as this.
Definitely.
And I think it's cool.
Speaking of this time, it is the new year.
It is the new year.
And so I just wanted to encourage people in terms of their finances.
Ah.
I'll make it very brief. nothing new. Sorry. But while you're all trying to make a fresh start, I feel like I'm all alone here all of a sudden.
Cricket,
Rob's
cricket,
asleep.
Cricket.
No, I just want to encourage you because I think we do look at everything in life at this point and wanting to do things better or differently or just in a new way. To encourage you to not be discouraged about your finances, if you've overspent at Christmas, you'll get over it. You'll get past it. But just to look at, there's a lot of different things online that will encourage you, help you with the budget. Learn to spend what you have, not what you don't have. I've talked about a lot of these things already, but this is a good time. This is a really good time to look at your expenses and your income and to spend accordingly and not to go overboard and to learn to not have a love for money, that to be content with what you have.
Right on.
And
don't look at it as a resolution either.
Mm-hmm.
Resolutions are not the things that we want to do. What we want to do is get fresh perspectives on how it is that we live.
That's right.
And
make some behavioral
those.
Changes
yeah.
that last. And I will just encourage you that Rob and I have been there. We've made a lot of mistakes. We know what it's like to be without money.
Way more mistakes than we've done things right.
Yeah, if you were to take the percentages, it's way on the low side.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, it's not like we're doing everything perfectly. But I feel like I have control over my money instead of my money controlling me. Well, yeah, that too. We have control over our money more than our money is controlling us.
Right, right on.
And then that was a big change, and that happened over 3 years ago. So,
and it's been amazing. It's
been
amazing.
We've been out of debt for that long,
and,
yeah. mm-hmm, and we've maintained it, and we've spent according to what we have, and we save, and we buy something after we've saved for it. And
we've been able to be generous in ways that we weren't able to be
and
before.
It is
glorious. And that's exciting.
It is so fun to, and especially during the holidays, to surprise someone with money. And people have blessed us. They've been very nice to us, too. I'm not saying that, but we've actually had the opportunity to then, as we're prompted or as the opportunity comes up, then to be generous to others and to bless them.
And that's the goal.
It's a wonderful,
that should always be
wonderful
the goal.
Feeling. Yes. So don't give up. There's hope.
And because that's it's a pressure that all of us face. It's one of those things that's one of the leading reasons that people have conflict or
mm-hmm.
difficulties in marriage and things like that.
Yes.
And, so it's an important aspect of life that we don't want to neglect. And we don't want to just go along with the flow of the way the broken world works.
Which is living in debt.
Which is living in debt and living in slavery to something that God never intended us to be slaves to. It's handing over authority and power to something that was never meant to have authority and power over us.
That's right.
As creatures made in the image of God.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
But I tried.
You did. And speaking of relationships, do you have any words for marriages or relationships that could be helpful?
Well, I was thinking of, you know, I've told couples this before in a lot of times in a premarital counseling context, but, you know, when we talk about having a Christ-centered marriage, we're thinking in terms of New Year's beginning and wanting to look at our relationships, because anybody knows a marriage isn't just something that just happens. I mean, it takes work, it takes commitment, it's a challenge, and it's not easy. And a lot of times we say that the answer to that is a Christ-centered relationship, but we don't always define what that means, or we're not always very clear on what that means. And so we'll say things like, you know, make sure that you have time of mutual prayer together, or you do Bible studies or devotions together.
That's so awkward.
Well,
sorry. Go ahead. Is that good? Should we do that?
And there's an example of a Christ-centered marriage. No, but those things are great if they work for you in your personality and stuff. But that's not really the idea behind a Christ-centered marriage. A Christ-centered marriage occurs when we put into practice what Ephesians 5:21 says. And I'll quote it to you because you're looking at me quite puzzled.
I totally know that verse.
Do you? Okay, let me just... She quickly. How fast can you bring up your Bible app? Seriously, you know
how
this.
How fast is my phone?
You're
going to
be embarrassed when you realize what this is.
Well, I thought I did, but then I'm second-guessing myself.
Well, you'll know what it is. As soon as you see it, you'll be like, oh, I know this. But here she goes. Dun, 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 dun. This is an example of a Christ.
Husbands, love your wives.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
5:21.
That's where I'm at. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
There we go. And there's the idea. See, all before everything that's talked about in terms of how husbands and wives are to relate to each other, he prefaces it with the idea of mutual submission. Mm-hmm. And the idea behind the words in that means to put yourself in the lower position in order to raise another person up. And so one of the challenges that we can take up in a new year when it comes to our relationship with each other is to have a Christ-centered relationship in that I serve you as though I'm serving Christ, and you serve me as though you're serving Christ. And if we do that, if we look at each other as though this is Christ and this is how I'm going to worship Christ and I'm going to be able to love and serve him is by doing this for my spouse. If both partners will do that, both partners actually disappear and only Jesus is left because he's at the center and is the focal point of the thing. And I know that that's talking in ideals and both parties have to be interested in participating, but it is a way in mm-hmm. which Christ can become the center by seeing to it that we serve each other as though we're serving Jesus.
I think that's great. And I think that maybe it's good to remember that doesn't always happen immediately, that it may happen 5 minutes.
I've heard you mortals go through that. But
well, I keep thinking about our moment Christmas shopping online with Redbox. And my daughter Jessica and her husband Matt were in the room, and they were on the other couch. And you and I, we've talked about this before, but we each have our own IT ways of doing things. And you were frustrated because you couldn't get the thing to work. You were trying to buy some vouchers for Redbox, and you were doing it your way, and I was trying to tell you to do it this way. And we couldn't have been more conflicted at the moment. And I remember saying at one point, I don't know how I can sit any further away from you right now. And Jessica looked over and laughed, and she goes, I love this. I love seeing this. She goes, now we're opposite. You know, I relate to you, Dad, and Matt, I know you're relating to my mom, but she goes, this really helps me. So there's a reality. And
there's
I think
a reality
that
to it.
At the moment, that doesn't always happen when you're in the heat of a
sure.
disagreement or difference, and you walk away from it and you get the emotions out of it, and you're like, you know, what was the big deal at that moment? I felt very personally offended over something so stupid. It doesn't make any sense. But that doesn't negate what you were just saying.
No, and the way that we recenter our thinking on that is not to try to make sure that we see that everybody recognizes that we're right mm-hmm. in the argument, but that we realize that our role in this is to serve one another.
Yeah.
You know, that both husbands and wives are called to serve each other and to submit to each other, to take that lower position, to raise the other up.
Yes.
In reverence for Christ.
Yes.
To put Christ in the center of it by serving him through serving our spouse.
Definitely.
And it's, like I said, it's idealistic, mm-hmm. but I think it's doable.
I do too.
And And as long as you serve me, as though you're serving Jesus, you
exactly
should be okay.
What I was thinking about you.
Just kidding. You know, Robbie, we've taken up nearly one precious hour of the listener's time. All three people who are listening to this.
We're so sorry.
Yeah, we are sorry. So we're going to wrap this up. If you ever have any questions or comments about marriage or theology or finance, we'd love to hear about it. You can post it to wherever it is you saw the link for this, or you can send an email to eastgatepcb@gmail.com or put it in the Facebook group. We'll look at that, Eastgate Facebook group. But we'd love to deal with it.
And hear from you and hear your comments and questions. We are continuing to do this, try to do this about once a month, and about every other time have a guest. Oh, that was our cat.
There was our cat. There was our guest right there. Our cat.
I guess she thinks we're done. She's hungry or something.
She's tired of hearing us talk.
And so we do continue to try to have a guest about every other episode so that you can continue to get to know staff or board members or whatever, just to help you all feel a little more like you know Eastgate and you're connected.
We want to all get connected as best as we can.
And like we said before, the meetings are usually our very, very busy time, and as much as we try to visit with people, it can be kind of hard to do because we're running around. But we love you all and we appreciate you listening.
Yeah. So, for this podcast and for Eastgate, we're learning how to love God. We're learning how to love others.
This is our story so far.
See you next time. God bless you.